are in a teaching series right now. So if you're new to City Light, we tend to do series, which basically what that means is we take a topic and try to lean into it for a month instead of having a different one every week. This one is called The Gospel for Dummies, and it's kind of a play on words and a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but we've been going over some of the main and the plain stuff about being a Christian. So we talked first week about what is the Bible. It's a good start, like you said. And why did Jesus have to die for our sins last week? I thought that was really, hopefully, helpful for you guys. So we're kind of leaning into what I call the fundamentals, right? Some of the things that are the bedrocks of Christianity. So today I want to talk about, what does it mean to be a Christian? And I was thinking about that this week. And on one hand, it feels pretty simple. Like we should be able to answer that question pretty easily. But on the other hand, it's kind of complicated. And maybe we've made it complicated. But like when we look at people in the world claiming to be Christians, there's variety, right? And we're like, okay, so one of these is not like the other. What actually is a Christian? And so Christianity, unfortunately, has gotten connected to some stuff. And you see Christianity like what we would consider, and we're going to talk about this, but when it gets tied to politics, when it gets tied to money, when it gets tied to power, or like certain value systems, right? Like somebody has a value that they really believe in, and they try to take their Christianity and make their Christianity support that value or support that party or, right, whatever. Christianity starts to get a little bit weird, doesn't it? Yeah. And then within Christianity, there's all this other stuff. There's like these divisions and there's some infighting. And then you have like people doing bad things in the name of Christianity. You have people who are pastors who are having affairs or embezzling money. You have, you know, churches who are saying that people, other people in the world are terrible people and they're hating in the name of Jesus. And wow, it's complicated. What is a Christian? Like, could we even agree? Could you sit 10 Christians down and have them agree on what a Christian is? I think it would be interesting, depending on their background, where they're coming from. And so I'm going to tell you that I know the answer. And I'm so glad that you came today, because I'm going to tell you, and it's all you'll ever need. No, I have some answers. I have some thoughts. I have some scriptures, most importantly. And I want to present this to you. And my hope is that it helps us kind of wrestle with this question. We probably should know, if we say we're a follower of Jesus, we probably should know what that means. We probably should have some definition around it, shouldn't we? And so I want to talk about that today. And I apologize right off the bat for this, okay? The best way that I could think about talking about this, and I don't know why, was a Venn diagram. Okay, now we're going to do a quick personality test. When you see that, who's excited right away about this teaching? There's a couple of people who are like, let's go. All right. Now, I'm just going to let you know, there's a lot of overlaps, right? There's the double overlaps and the triple overlaps. I do have it all labeled, and I can send it to you after the teaching. I was going to go through all the overlaps, but I had self-control. We're not going to do all the overlaps. We're going to do some, but what I want to talk, we're not going to go down the rabbit hole too far, but if you are like, Venn diagrams are my thing, I want to know, I'll send you it later. You just email me, okay? So I want to talk about kind of four things that I think all of them put together, and that's why I couldn't think of a better thing to put in the middle than the cross, and I know that looks so cheesy, but it's there. Let's just acknowledge that it's cheesy, right? But when all these four things meet, when they're all working together, I think that's like the target I'm shooting for as a Christian, based on reading the Bible and all of that. Like, we read the scripture, what does it mean to be a Christian? And so I want to look at these four things, and I want you to wrestle with them. You don't have to take my word for it. Let's look at what the Bible says, and then we're going to see, like, are there any of these four areas where I need to grow? So the first one is belief, okay? So to believe in Jesus. That seems so basic, doesn't it? But we're going to start there because that's where I think it probably starts. So we're going to look at a couple scriptures. Now, I need to give this caveat. We're in this teaching series that's a little bit different than how I normally teach at City Light. So at City Light, I normally teach from one basic scripture with maybe a couple supporting verses, and it allows us to really look at that verse deeply and understand it. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, you don't feel like you're getting thrown 600 verses from all over the Bible. This series is a little bit different. It's more of like looking at themes across a lot of different books. So I don't have time today to introduce every single book we're going to look at, okay? So if you're new to the Bible, Just be kind of okay with the fact that I'm not going to give the background of every verse, and we're just giving like a snapshot of a bunch of different parts of the Bible. So in Acts, right after Jesus dies, raises again, goes to heaven, he says, wait for my Holy Spirit to come. He tells the disciples to wait and pray. And so then they wait and pray, and the Holy Spirit comes, and they start to preach. This is the first time the disciples have started preaching with Jesus not there. And Peter gives the first sermon, and he preaches this whole thing, and this is how it kind of ends. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So he gave a long preaching up to that part to say, Jesus, who you all, like all these people had seen Jesus, they had heard Jesus, they had, some of them had probably seen him carrying his cross, then they know, right? They know that he was killed, and they've heard, maybe some of them had seen him resurrected. They've heard that other people had seen him resurrected. Now these guys are saying, this is the long-awaited Messiah that Israel has been waiting for. And not only that, he is God. He is Lord, God, and Messiah. He's the one we've been waiting for. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, and this is important, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Christianity, what is a Christian? Christianity starts with a decision. It starts with a belief and a choice. It starts with believing that Jesus is who he said he was, right? I mean, I think that's so basic, but at the same time, there are people talking about Christianity in our culture today who think and kind of portray themselves as Christians, but when you drill down, this is in question, actually. Do they believe that Jesus is God? Do they believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose for our sins? I don't know about you guys, but I have stumbled into some Christian podcasts, and I've listened for a while, and I've been like, oh, they don't believe that Jesus died for our sins. I'm like, oh, okay, but they still get to use the word Christian. It's like, that seems unfair. Paul said this, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So listen, Christianity, and for some people, this will be a moment. Like, I remember when I accepted Jesus. And for some people, it'll be a process where it's been like, over time, I've been getting closer and closer. And at some point, there is kind of a decision. But yeah, I believe the claims of Jesus. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he's God. I believe I'm a sinner and I need a savior. And I want to make him not just my savior, he saves me from my sin, but my Lord. Lord and Savior. I want him to be over my life. I want to be all in. You know, I got saved, right? I accepted Jesus when I was 4 years old. And then, but the moment that really changed my life, I was 14 years old. I was on a missions trip in Mexico. And this guy, he was preaching, and he kind of just said, like, if you want to just be like, I am all in. If you want to just say, my life is not my own. And I am all in on Jesus. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do with my future, whatever you want to do with my, you know, who I'm going to become or what I'm going to do as a profession. At that point, I was 14. Where I'm going to go to school for college, like whatever. And I went up and it was kind of weird. He had us like kneel on the floor, but it was like this, I was like submitting my life to God. And I was a Christian before. I believe I was a Christian before. But then I was like, I'm all in. I'm all in on you, Jesus. Like whatever comes my way, whatever you ask me to do, I want to do it. However much sacrifice it might take, however difficult it might be, I'm all in. And I wonder for some of us today if this is something that we would start with. I had the middle schoolers stay in today, and I know I hope you guys don't get too bored, but I had the middle schoolers stay in today because I want you to hear this. You are the right age to make this decision. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never said, I am all in on Jesus, you've got friends who maybe aren't Christians, or you've got, you know, friends who maybe make fun of Christianity, and that you're going to church though, and you know you've got this other side of your life. Like, Jesus wants to have your whole heart and your whole life. He doesn't just want a part of you. And so maybe it's time. Maybe today will be that day. You know, part of belief is, I put this up here because I think it's important. Part of belief is like, do we believe on the basic doctrines? Now look, I did some research on this. We could argue about this, which is kind of weird. But like, there are basic doctrines of Christianity that if you don't believe in them, I would have a conversation with you about whether you really are a Christian. Like, it's like saying I work at Chick-fil-A, but you go, you know, you're like, look at my life, and you're like, yeah, but you actually don't have a uniform, and you don't go there ever, and you've never been paid by them. You don't work at Chick-fil-A, right? So like, if you're like, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the divinity of Christ or the death of Christ or the bodily resurrection of Christ, I would be politely, you don't work at Chick-fil-A, okay? Like, you can call yourself a Christian, but like, I mean, and it's not mean to say, well, that person is not a Christian. I don't think that's mean, but I think we need to know. We need to know what is and is not. Now, like the ones that are in italics, I put them in italics because some people who are Christians debate those. Personally, I wonder why you'd be a Christian if you didn't believe in the incarnation of Jesus. I wonder how that works. But like, so, and this isn't exhaustive, but this is just an example. Like, there are, part of being a Christian is believing a set of doctrines that foundationally support your faith. And some people have gotten away from that, and it's become more like, I want to feel it. But there is something about intellectually believing and choosing to say, this is a worldview that I embrace. I believe the truth of the scriptures, and this is who I am. It's my foundation. So that's my question for you. Have you made this decision? Are you here today? And maybe it's been a while since you've been to church, or it's been a while since you've thought about Jesus, or maybe you went to church when you were younger and you're back, kind of back into it, checking it out. Or maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe like Gandhi said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christians, right? Like, maybe you've been hurt by people who say they're Christians. We're going to get into that. But like, you got to like put all that aside. When it comes to you and Jesus, the other people don't matter. It's about you and Jesus. And how are you responding to this invitation to believe in Jesus? So then belief, I think, goes into relationship. So we believe in Jesus, and then we be with Jesus. It doesn't really flow off the tongue, but we have the opportunity to be with Jesus. See, Jesus says this. When asked what the greatest commandment is, he says, love the Lord, love. Listen to that word, love. Love the Lord your God with all of yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, mind and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And I left that second part in there because loving God and loving our neighbors is intricately connected. That's a hard word to say. And if you read the Bible, you can't take them apart. I mean, John literally tells you that you can't say you love God if you don't love people. So if you can't love people, you can't love God. And if you love God, then you should love people. So it goes together. But part of following Jesus is having a relationship. Sorry. So what I want to say about this is that God wants more than our belief. And it's not like he's demanding, it's like he's offering. He wants us to know him. Jesus says this, as the Father's loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. Isn't that so cool that God of the universe would want a love relationship with you? With you. Not just with everyone else, but with you. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. If you keep my commands. Now look how all these things start to fit together. The next bubble we're going to talk about is going to talk about obedience. Love and obedience, they're connected. Belief and love, they're connected. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, and I remain in his love. Now listen to this. This is why he wants to have a relationship with you. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. He wants you to be full of the joy of Jesus in a love relationship with God. And I, again, so he says, remain in my love by obeying my commands. Here's my command. What is it? Love each other. It's all connected, isn't it? So again, loving each other. We're going to get there. Loving each other, loving God, all connected. But I want to just talk about this. Is loving God a weird thing for you to think about? Like, we love people, right? Love's kind of a weird word because you use it for like, I love pizza, right? And I love my kids and I love my wife. All drastically different meanings, right? And I love God. What does it mean to love God? I think it's hard. I think it's hard to understand what this means. Like, love, do I have feelings of love for God? Do I have affection for God? Is love just a choice that I make? And I think the answer is yes to all of those things, right? I think it's hard for us. Some of us are more feelers. We're more creative. And so the lovey, feely stuff, the tingly's happens a lot more in God's presence. And the rest of us, I mean, some of us, not the rest of us, some of us are more intellectual. And so we don't get the tingly's in worship. And we don't get, but like, we, you know, it's more up here. And all of, like, that's okay. But what I want to ask you is, are you leaning in to a relationship with Jesus? Guys, it is so easy to make Christianity, all right, ooh, I know Christianity, I don't know what words I'm allowed to use here because people get mad when I use this word, but it's easy to make Christianity just a religion. It is a religion, I know, but just a religion devoid of life. And he doesn't want that. Jesus doesn't want you to just follow the rules and believe the right stuff. Listen, those are important. It's not less than that. It is more than that. Does that make sense? Like God wants, and if you hear nothing else today, to be totally honest, this bubble for me is what I want you to hear the most. God wants to have a relationship. And so what do? When you want to have a relationship with somebody, you lean in, you spend time, you talk, you make space in your life. Are you pursuing Jesus? Is that a foreign concept? Like, what does it mean to pursue God? Like, I think it's easy as a Christian to just come to church and serve and like be moral and believe the right things, but we're missing something. God wants your heart. How, and like the ways that I know how to do this, like prayer, like how often are you in prayer? How often are you talking to Jesus? How often are you reading the Bible? How often are you singing and worshiping on your own? How often are you talking to Jesus about your feelings? And we could go on. Like, how are you? Like, what I should ask you, like, how are you investing in your relationship? Does God maybe want you to lean in a little bit? Is this a circle that you need to work on? The third circle. You guys with me? We're getting there. All right. I came in feeling tired today. I kind of feel like is it kind of like a tired day? Yeah, I'm a little bit tired. I know. You need an extra cup of coffee. It's okay. I can handle it. It's going to be a beautiful day, though. It's not going to rain. Teaching's almost over. There's a lot to look forward to, okay? All right. So as the Holy Spirit works on us, as you get closer to Jesus, listen, you should become more like Jesus. As you get closer to Jesus, we should become more like Jesus. Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount, his most famous teaching, and he ended it with this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. Practice. Practice? Practice? There's a couple of you that know that that's funny. Anybody? All right. Allen Iverson? Okay. Practice? You got to put it into practice. You got to, and it's not, like, practice is something you do. You practice it. It becomes who you are. He says, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it has foundations on the rock. I would read this next verse, but I can't because there's something blocking it. 1 John says, in fact, this is the love of God too. Yes, keep his commands. Good timing, Eden. And his commands are not burdensome. There is something about loving God that leads into doing what he says. And I know we, like, as Americans, we hate being told what to do. We hate being told what to do. I hate being told what to do most of the time. I will say in our marriage, I have tried to convince Mandy that I would rather her give me a list of things to do than just assume in her head that I know what to do and then get mad at me when I don't do them, because that feels unfair. Some marriage counseling over here. So I like that. I like that sense. I feel like I have a better chance of succeeding when I know what I'm supposed to do. And God's laid it out for us. So as we follow Jesus, we should become more like him. I wanna read you guys this quote. And this quote changed my life. I'm totally honest. It changed how I think about following Jesus. So this is from a book written by John Ortberg, but he's quoting another author. He says, biblical scholar Ray Vanderleen, sounds pretty cool, notes that the first century Jews had a blessing that beautifully expresses the commitment of a disciple to stay in the presence of the one that he followed. This is the blessing. May you always be covered by the dust of your rabbi. May you always be covered by the dust of your rabbi. And so in the early, like when Jesus was a rabbi, right? And he had disciples. Those are weird words for us. In their day, they would have known people chose a rabbi to follow, and they would take their yoke, it's another word from the scripture. Take my yoke upon you, for it's easy and light. The yoke is the teachings, like the teachings of the rabbi. You take his life upon you and you try to live the way he lives. You actually, not just the teachings, but you emulate how he lives. You follow them. Literally, they would follow them everywhere trying to do what they do. May you always be covered by the dust of your rabbi. That is, may you follow him so closely that the dust his feet kicks up is what cakes your clothing and lines your faces. The decision that makes us disciples is choosing to be always with Jesus. Listen to this. This is so profound. So we can learn continually from Jesus how to be fully like him. To be always with him so we continually learn from him how to become like him. What if you were to wake up every morning and begin with this prayer? Today, I would like to be covered in the dust of my rabbi. What if you were to repeat that prayer throughout the day every time it came to mind? I want to be so close to you, Jesus, that I'm covered by the dust of my rabbi. I want to follow you so closely. See, what does it mean to be formed? It's Jesus wants to give us formation. He wants to form us into his likeness on the inside and on the outside, inwardly and outwardly. My emotions, how I handle difficult situations, everything. Jesus wants to shape you and form you. And the most important word for this is, listen, it's a process, okay? So this is where we get hung up. This is where Christians like to come in and bring condemnation. They like to come in and say, you're not good enough. They like to compare people to each other. We're not comparing. Comparing doesn't help anybody. We are in process. God is patient. God is kind. You don't have to have it all together. But the goal is we are all on a journey to become like Jesus. And my everything should be on the table. There shouldn't be anything in my life that I'm like, God, I don't want you to form that. So how I make money, like if I was making money in a way that was oppressing people as a Christian, should I do that? How I spend my money, what I do with my free time, what entertainment I consume. Like, listen, I have watched shows and gotten halfway through them, and I have just had this moment where I was like, is this who I am as a Christian? No one's gonna know. No one's watching. But like, would my rabbi do this? If Jesus was here, would we be chilling on the couch watching this together? And I'm not gonna name any shows because I'm not here to like condemn you. But like, I just, you know, like what am I allowing myself to look at? And like, does God care what you watch? So here's why he cares. And here's why we get it wrong every time. And I'll say this until I die. He doesn't care what you watch because he's trying to control you. He cares what you watch because he loves you. It's like you care what your kids eat. That's why he cares what you do. Because when you do things that harm you, and that's all sin is the opposite of what brings you life. And so we're being formed by the presence of Jesus. The more we know him, the more we love him, everything should be on the table. How I talk, the words that come out of my mouth, right? Everything, how I treat my enemies, how I treat people online, everything should be on the table. I should look different when someone comes at me and is mean to me. How I respond should look different. Christians should look different in how we interact online, how we interact in social settings, how we interact at soccer games, on the sidelines. Christians, everything about us should be different. It should be. Everything about us, our marriages should be different. Our sex lives should be different. Everything should be on the table. I am all in and I want to become like Jesus. Hear me, it's not condemnation, but it's the best life that God has for you. It's living in his way. And so I just want to ask, like, is God inviting you to be formed? Are there things in your life, as you hear me talking about this, as you hear Jesus saying, put it into practice. If you want to love God, obey his commands. Is there anything where you're like, wow, there's a check in my spirit? Like, God is, like, what God will do in me is he'll just put his finger on something. Can I tell you? So, listen, just last week, this stuff happens all the time. And we're talking big stuff, little stuff. Everything's on the table, right? We were at trivia night, and I was in a conversation, and Eden came up. And Eden was trying to ask me a question. Eden's my daughter. She's 14. And she was trying to ask me a question. I think, like, can you get me... a water or something because she was intimidated to talk to the bartender, right? Yeah. So she's like, I'm in a conversation. So she's like, Dad, you know, Dad, can you give me a, Dad, can you give me water? Dad, can you get me water? Dad, can you get me water? And finally, I lovingly turned and said, sweet daughter, I would love to get you a water when I'm finished this conversation. That is not what I did. In front of other people, like at a church event, as the pastor, with another person who goes to my church, I was like, Eden, stop! Like I literally raised my voice. I was like, just hold on a second. That was what naturally came out of me, right? I mean, I think about this a lot. Like if you take a ketchup bottle and you squeeze it, what comes out? Right. So if you squeeze me, what comes out shows God's still working on me. I was like, and I didn't realize it. Like at first I was like, I am justified in that reaction, you know, which is like another layer, isn't it? Like that's another thing where God is like, oh man, we've been working on this for a while, you know? It's like, it's so important. Like, and I'll just say this, like I've never been tempted to be, to like be an alcoholic, right? So like, that's not a big credit to me. Some of us, like you are just one day at a time staying out of an addiction. That's the formation God's working on in your life right now. There might be some other thing that you know God needs to work on, but right now you're working on this, right? For me, I've got other stuff. We've all got something, but it's also the big things. Can I just say this? Like, it's the big things too. Like the big decisions of your life should be on the table before God. It shouldn't be you. It should be Jesus. What do you want me to do? I had many panic attacks. I'll just be really honest with you. I didn't know to call them panic at the time because this was like 600 years ago and they didn't know about those. But when Mandy and I were dating, we were trying to figure out whether we were going to get married, which translation, she knew we were getting married and I was terrified, okay? I was so scared that I was having panic attacks. Again, I didn't know what they were. I just was like, I'm freaking out. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. And part of it was because I just so badly wanted to not mess up what God wanted for me. So there's something really beautiful about that. And also, you can tell I needed help. You know, I was young. I got help and we figured it out. But I just like, I don't want to step outside of God's will. I don't want to plant a church if God's not calling us to. I don't want to buy this, you know, this building on Paper Mill Road that we're all praying about. I'm like crying out to God. Like, I want to do, what do you want? Like, my life is yours, God. Do you want me to coach this soccer team or not? I'll coach it until you say stop. Like, my life is yours, God. I'm in this soccer team to coach soccer and try to win and help people get better. But also, maybe there will be a person I'll meet whose life will be changed for Jesus. And that's the real reason I'm coaching this soccer. Like, my life is yours. Is your life just ready to be formed by Jesus? I accidentally slid into my next point. I just realized that. But is God asking you to be formed? Is your character where? I mean, it's yes. The answer for all of us is yes. So where is God putting his finger on? And here's the fourth one, mission. As we believe in Jesus and we fall in love with Jesus and we let him start to change us, we should catch on fire for the mission of Jesus. Christians should be on the go. What is a Christian? Christians believe in Jesus. They believe the teachings of Jesus. They believe who Jesus is. They've given their life to it. They're all in. Christians are in a real relationship where they love Jesus. They know Jesus. They're pressing in. They want to know him more. Christians are being formed. They are being formed by the presence of God and the word of God. They're letting their character and their belief system and who they are be shaped and changed. Christians are on a mission. Christians are about something, right? Jesus, as he goes to heaven, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go, right? Go and make disciples. Listen, you're a Christian not to be moral first. You're a Christian not to pray and read your Bible first. Radical, I know, and I may be stepping on toes, I don't know, but Christians are on a mission. Jesus wanted us to go tell other people about Jesus. Jesus wants everyone to know Jesus. He said, I want all people to know Jesus. He didn't say it that way, but he wants everyone to be saved. He wants everyone to have the opportunity. He wants to reconcile every one of his kids back. And we're all on that mission in different ways. We're all different. Go and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. That's what we're talking about. That's the four circles. We're supposed to go help other people believe in Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, be formed by Jesus, and also be on mission. And then they will find more people to believe in Jesus, to fall in love with Jesus, be formed by Jesus, and then be on mission. I'm really sorry. I'm really trying to stand right here. The pole people. That's who you guys are. If I go here, you're gone. I'm sorry. That poll, I feel like it, I don't know why it hasn't been an issue for 5 years, but now I'm really aware of it. Did you see the post on Instagram? Yeah, it's really annoying. If we cut it down, I don't know what it would do. It probably wouldn't be good. Make disciples, baptizing them, so asking them to make the decision in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey. You see the process? Like, and then they will do the same thing. Surely I am with you. It's that relationship. You see all of it in that quote. You see belief, relationship, obedience, and mission all in that quote, right? Is it time for you to get into the mission? Is it time for you to start maybe sharing your faith? Or maybe, if that's too terrifying, maybe just like saying, how are you going to use me in this world, God? How are you going to use me, right? Like, I have a friend sitting here who recently changed their career because God called them to become a teacher, because they wanted to invest in people. I'm not saying that's the only way to invest in people, but like I'm saying, are you asking the question, God, am I on mission? It doesn't have to be at work, but what are you doing in your life? Like, how are you ministering to other people? Every one of us has gifts and are called as Christians to minister. Okay, now, are you ready to go down the rabbit hole just a little bit? Okay, here we go. Now, there's these four quadrants. Okay. So number one is, these are the danger zones. These are the danger zones. And I see it in myself sometimes. I see it in other people. And if you don't understand Venn diagrams, just try to hang with me. Number one is if you have belief, mission, and formation, but no relationship with Jesus. Okay? So these are Christians who believe in Jesus, right? They believe the teachings of Jesus. They want to become like Jesus. They're very into serving and on mission, but they've never been taught how to have a relationship with Jesus. And so they're missing that. Then what it becomes is a works-based faith. And it doesn't mean you're a terrible person. It doesn't mean, like, we're not talking about eternal salvation here. I'm just talking about how you experience being a Christian. And you might see that and think, oh my gosh, that's kind of me. Like, that's, I need to lean into this relationship thing. My Christianity has been mostly about, I have to be a good person and I have to do good things. And I've never really experienced the love and the grace of Jesus in my life. Okay, number two is someone who is on mission, believes in Jesus, and has relationship with Jesus, but isn't being formed. I have seen this. And that would be someone who's lacking fruit in their life. And the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, have you met Christians who like believe in Jesus and they pray and read their Bible and they do stuff in church, but they haven't changed? And I'm not saying like point them out and be mean to them. And maybe that's you. Like, maybe it's easier to be like, Jesus just loves me for who I am. I'm just going to say, there's a little bit of this going on in the world today. There's a little bit of this going on in the world where it's kind of cool to be a Christian who like swears all the time and watches like the movie that everybody watches and like gets drunk with their friends, but goes to church on Sunday morning. Sorry how many toes I stepped on right there, but it's just a reality. Like, sometimes it's like in our culture, it's cool to be a Christian and not be formed. And I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just saying God might want to form you some more. And me too. Listen, it is easier for me to look like a good Christian up here. That, I hate that language. Sorry. Strike that from the record. Look like a good Christian. Ooh, that's cringy. It's easier for me to look like I've been formed by Jesus when I'm in front of you guys. It's harder when I'm alone. And I have a decision of like what Netflix show to watch or what article to read, right? Like, am I going to fill myself with that stuff? Or like, the email that I'm going to send to people that no one else is going to see, or the conversation I'm going to have with that parent who's been so annoying the whole season. Those are the things. Like, those are where the rubber hits the road. Or like someone who's mean to you or has betrayed you or hurt you, and you so desperately want to talk to somebody else about them in a way that you can bond over how bad that person is, and they'll never know about it. No one else, and it's therapeutic, and maybe you'll pray for them, right? No, you're not. But like, I do that. These are things, I'm telling you my life. Like, this is me. I love to like make an alliance and talk about and make jokes about, and like, that's so dirty and terrible. I don't do it anymore, but it's a temptation. Like, growing up, I was like funny. Like, especially if humor's involved. If I can make fun of somebody, right? I've hurt so many people's feelings because I like to joke around. Like, there's so much work that needs to be done in me. So that's the danger of number two. Number three is you believe in Jesus, you have a relationship with Jesus, you have formation. This is a huge chunk of the American church. It's called inside the four walls, right? Us four and no more. Like, we just want to be together. We want to praise Jesus. We just want to worship. We just want to go deeper in the Holy Spirit. We just want to Jesus, 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 each other, each other, each other. I had one pastor in the vineyard say it's like a bunch of puppies licking themselves. I've never forgotten that image, okay? But that's not what church is supposed to be. But seriously, it's like, oh, let me pray for you. Ooh, let me pray for you. Ooh, let me pray for you. Ooh, let me pray for you. Oh, I feel so good. And we never do mission. We never get outside the four walls because it's safe. That's why they call it a sanctuary, right? Let's hide from the world. The world is evil. Yeah, I get it. There's scary stuff. But that's like, you know, that might be what you are sensing. Like, are you in that camp where you're feeling, man, I need to be pushed into mission? And then number four is if you believe, if you have relationship, formation, and mission. It is kind of confusing. Relationship, formation, and mission. This one is hard to imagine, but here, I think I see it sometimes. This is someone who doesn't actually believe the claims of Jesus, but they like Christianity from a spiritual standpoint. And so you'll see them. They're like, I pray. And like, they're good people, and they do a lot of like volunteer work. But they don't really believe in Jesus. They just think like it's kind of like Jesus, everyone, it's just spirituality is what it comes down to. It's like New Age spirituality with some, if you dig into it, some of their beliefs with some Eastern philosophy built in and Jesus slapped on top. They like Jesus, but they don't like Jesus' teachings a whole lot, and they don't like the Bible. It's just a reality. And maybe you've been pushed there. Here's what happens. I'm not blaming you if you're there. You've been pushed there by Christians being probably abusive or controlling. And what happens is you get raised in a church that's controlling, and the Bible's weaponized instead of being used to encourage you, and you get hurt. And so to defend yourself, you start to push away from that. And some of you, like Andy Stanley says this line, he says, some of you have left Jesus and you should have, because you've been shown a Jesus that isn't the real Jesus. And so some of you are in this place where Christianity, you like so much of it, but you just can't buy into some of the doctrines and and that's where God wants to work on. It's such a good thing. Like, if you can recognize where you are on that, there's no condemnation for it. It's like, ooh, this is where I lean in. And can I just tell you, if that's you, I'm so glad you're here at City Light, because we exist to be a place where people rediscover Jesus. That's one of the reasons we exist. And so we can help. We have people who walked through that, who can help you rediscover it. We're not afraid of those hard questions. I mean, we're not. We have people who love to wrestle with that. We can help you wrestle with those questions. But I just want to make you aware, like, this is what happens when you miss one of these. If you take any one of these, I think it's a danger zone. Now, you see all the other overlaps? I have stuff for those too. But we're not doing it. Yeah, I know. It's too much for you. It's too much for you. But I think that they look like this. And now I'm done. Worship team, you can come up. I think that they all work together. And I will just make you a promise right now that I will not use any Venn diagrams or charts next week, okay? So I just you can take a sigh of relief. This one's over. You made it. But I think this is not like you get belief, you get relationship, you get formation, you get mission, and you're done. But everything feeds into each other. When you're on mission, it helps you. Like, have you ever served someone in need and you walk away from that and you're like, I think I was blessed more than they were? And you fall in love with Jesus more, you know? Or you're praying and reading the Bible and God highlights something in your character and your formation grows. Or you overcome an addiction in your life that you never thought you would overcome, and your belief in Jesus increases because you're like, there must be a God if I was able to overcome this. They're all connected. I think I would like, and I think it's a legitimate question. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? And this is my attempt. You know, I've been around for a while, so hopefully I have some good thoughts about this. I'm sure it's not exhaustive, right? We could add a lot here. But where do you feel God asking, inviting you today? Are you needing to make that first commitment to say yes to Jesus, to be like, I didn't know that's what that meant. I feel like I need to go all in. Whereas God saying, you know, you've been kind of works-based, but I want to invite you into a relationship. Or is he putting his finger on the formation? Like, yeah, you've been following me for a while, and now I want to really get into forming you to be more like me. Or do you feel maybe a nudge to get outside of your comfort zone and strike out into submission? Like, just take a first step. Like, try something small. Because God has something in you that other people need. He has something in you that's going to bless other people. So let's just go into worship now and just spend some time praying about this. Or forget it all if it's just like too much. No, I'm just kidding. Spend some time praying. Like, God, where are you putting your finger on in my life? And I'll tell you, for me, as I thought about this, for me, it's the one on the right, you're right, relationship. God, I think God is like drilling for me like deeper relationship. Like, can I become softer to God and his voice? Instead of just kind of, I think sometimes lately, if I'm being honest, I'm kind of going through the motions a little bit. And I think that God's like, I think I have, you know, there's more for you. And so if I were to be honest, that's where, for me as a Christian, I need to grow right now. And so where is God asking you to grow?